most astonishing religious trend in the last 20 years in the United States is the rise of the nuns, N-O-N-E-S. The nuns are folks who not only say none of the above when they're asked their religious affiliation, more to the point, they say none at all. They are not affiliated with a religion. They're not looking to affiliate with a religion. They simply don't believe in religion with a capital R or in the individual faith's religion with a small r. Mainline Christians, Jews, Unitarian Universalists, and Evangelical Christians, these faiths have all gone down in these past 20 years. Yes, Evangelical Christians included. Either precipitously like the Presbyterians or a little bit like Unitarian Universalists. Catholics during this period have stayed about the same thanks to the influx of migrants replacing the droves of Catholics who have abandoned the faith. Meanwhile, just in the past 5 years, nuns have grown from 15% of the American population to nearly 20%. And if you take young adults between 18 and 30, one-third of them are nuns, non-affiliated. What we're witnessing is an extraordinary secularization of American culture. And I think that some Unitarian Universalists have been salivating at this prospect for years. With our lack of dogma, with our emphasis on freedom, Unitarian Universalism will be just the place that the nuns will turn. I used to think this was true, that we were on the verge of this dawning of a glorious period for Unitarian Universalism. But then I had my sabbatical in the United Kingdom. I saw what a secularized future might look like, and it was not a pretty picture. The Unitarian Church, it turns out, in England is doing just as badly as all the other churches. Nationwide, there are something like 3,000 Unitarians in England. All of the United Kingdom, actually. 3,000. That's about the number of this congregation and the two largest congregations, one in Madison, one in Milwaukee. You take these three congregations in Wisconsin together, we have 3,000 people. And that's the same number of Unitarians in all of the United Kingdom. There are about 160 congregations in the United Kingdom, many or most of which don't get more than 10 people to a service each week. I talked to someone high up in the General Assembly there, and he said, give it 10 years, that 160 will be under 100, and the hemorrhaging will not stop there. If there was an official endangered list of faith communities, British Unitarianism would be on that list. The UK is a hard place to do church. I had no idea how hard it was before I went there. Going to church in the UK is positively countercultural. It takes courage. Most non-church people I encountered in the UK seem to view going to church as being anywhere from quaint, irrelevant, all the way to ridiculous, or just downright evil. Most people in the Unitarian Church I worked with, most of the people would not share that they went to church with their family, friends, or coworkers because it was embarrassing. I've seen estimates that 6% of the British population go to church regularly, and in London it certainly is less. 6%. While I was in England, the Archbishop of Canterbury, the former Archbishop of Canterbury, declared that attendance in Anglican churches in a generation would be extinct. The one exception are the handful of Anglican churches lucky enough to be attached to a good school. These churches are booming because the only way you can get your kids in these schools, which are taxpayer subsidized, is to attend and to volunteer at the church affiliated with the school. There's a point system for parents. They get points if they show up. They get points if they volunteer to offer IT support for the office. They get points if they rake the church's leaves. They get points if they show up to clean regularly. So the result Parents fake religious belief in order to get their kids into school. The pews are full of fakes. Somehow this makes the whole decline of religion in the UK seem all the more pitiful and pathetic to me. The Unitarians are in the same boat as the Anglicans, only they don't have schools that parents are faking beliefs to get their kids into. So while I was there, I asked a lot of people why they think the UK is such a secular society. And I heard lifted up over and over again two main reasons going back to the early part of the 20th century. The first was the fracture that developed between science and religion. With too many churches taking ridiculous stands against scientific principles like Darwin's theory of evolution. The second one, though, that was lifted up as probably more important was the First World War. You see, it wasn't just millions of men who died on those poppy fields, but the idea of some sort of God calling the shots, directly or indirectly. How could such a God preside over that sort of slaughter? Now, here in the United States in that same period, we had the science-religion fracture, but we did not experience World War I in nearly the same way. One out of 50 people in the UK died in World War I. In our country, it was one out of 1,000. That is a huge difference. In the UK, you were likely to know a bunch of people that died in that war, much less likely here. Maybe it's not surprising that World War I is all but forgotten here in the United States. Our tribute to military veterans, which takes place on November 11th, that's the same day as Remembrance Day in the UK. But here, I think most people would not even realize that it had anything to do with World War I, marking the Armistice Day. But in England, in the United Kingdom, Remembrance Day is a huge focus for weeks ahead of time. At 11 a.m. on that day, everything stops. In the church service we had, we stopped. My nephew went to a football game. They stopped. Everything stops. World War I is hugely, hugely present with the people there. So the question then is, why in this country, 100 years later, is secularism suddenly on the rise? A lot of sociologists think part of the reason is the aftermath of 9/11. And while it's presumptuous to compare the American experience of 9/11 to the British experience of World War I, we're talking a few thousand dead versus a million, for whatever reason, the impact of these two events seems to be somewhat similar. And what I want to say is that here, in this small Midwestern region, heartland of America, even here, we are experiencing the spike of secularism. Many of the humanists and the atheists who 20 years ago would have checked out the fellowship, today will not consider crossing our doors. We're part of the problem, they seem to think. The problem is religion. Catholics, evangelicals, Muslims, Hindus, Unitarian Universalists, they're all the same. What's the difference? It's all religion and it's all bad. I'm hearing that more. So to me, I think we'd be foolhardy to assume that secularism is somehow going to be good for the fellowship, somehow magically going to be good for Unitarian Universalism. The UK example says, hey, we might do just as badly as everybody else. So if we go on our merry way thinking everything's going to magically work out, we may also find ourselves on the endangered list. What's clear to me is business as usual is not going to cut it. So what might work? How can we keep our congregation and our faith viable in an increasingly secular age? These are questions that Unitarian Universalism and our fellowship would be wise to ponder. Well, as I think about it, one key thing I think is that we have to be spiritual without looking traditional. It seems to me that we have to remain focused on things like nurturing community, like creating meaning and purpose in life, like working together to build a better world. And these, to me, these are all spiritual pursuits. But if the package looks like your grandmother's or your great-grandmother's or your grandfather's or your great-grandfather's church, it is not going to fly in an increasingly secular society. Let me talk about this with the church I worked at in England. So this church was built in the late 1800s, and it looked the part of a heavy Gothic Victorian church. And if church is a bad, scary brand, which I think it is in the UK, then just walking up to that church, opening the big, heavy wooden door without a window that you can see into, and walking into that church has to be an incredible, daunting endeavor. And then if you do manage to do all that, you walk in and what do you hear? You hear traditional organ music. I personally like the organ. My dad was a church organist. I like that stuff. But nothing says this is your grandparents' church more than organ music. And in Unitarian churches in England, most of the hymns are dirge-like, though the content of the service is decidedly different. The format is more like than unlike a traditional Protestant service. Well, folks, this is a lot to swim against in a secular society. And so to me, it's not shocking at all that this church I served in the UK would have anywhere between 12 and 30 people a week, and that newcomers would rarely ever come a second time. Well, while I was in the UK, I met with Sanderson Jones, who's a professional comedian and co-founder of a new church in the UK called the Sunday Assembly, also known as the Atheist Church. Well, this church started about a year ago, and it has taken off in London and other places in the UK. There's some branches here in the US which have had more mixed results. Well, I attended a Sunday assembly service the day after I met with Sanderson, a show, as he calls it. And the difference from the services I was leading in my little Unitarian church were really stark. For starters, instead of that 12 to 30 people, there were 350 people in this brand new church. Excited, energetic. They made us all wait in the lobby, so there was a buzz, and then we were let in. It was packed. And I observed that the Sunday Assembly has a concise, clear-cut mission that has nothing to do with leasing parking spots. But they focus on this mission like a laser. Their mission is wonder more, live better, help often. They sing contemporary songs like Lean on Me, no organ. A kid did the reading. They showed a clip from a TV show that was both hilarious and poignant. A singer-songwriter performed an original piece, an original composition. They took a collection in coffee cans, and no, I didn't hear a lot of coins going in. I actually could see people putting actual bills in the coffee cans. They were, the following week, going to skip the service, and instead they had a community action day where all those 350 people were going to provide winter coats to vulnerable children. So you walk in there, and all of it leads to the conclusion that this is not my grandparents' church. So does this informal name, the Atheist Church. Heck, you could maybe even tell a friend about this place and not feel embarrassed. Now, I'm guessing that some of what I just described with the Atheist Church, the Sunday Assembly, sounds maybe more like this place than a traditional church. And I think what we've tried to do here is make this place spiritual without feeling so traditionally religious. And I suspect this is part of the reason this fellowship's grown, while Unitarian Universalism over these past 25 years has stayed the same or declined a bit. I think too many Unitarian Universalist congregations have missed the mark one way or the other. Either they've completely lost all touch with anything spiritual, or they've stayed too traditional in their liturgy. Maybe a better way to say all this is that I think we need to keep searching for a balance point. We're never going to be all things to all people all the time. But I think what works here is kind of a big tent. Someone leaving the service last night shared that his two favorite services here are the Christmas Eve service and the Flower Communion. The Christmas Eve service is really quite traditional. And the Flower Communion is unlike anything this guy ever experienced in his childhood church. It's fresh. It's uniquely ours. Both these work. And I think that's part of the secret for us. Before moving on from the Sunday assembly, it's important to note the biggest difference between us and the Sunday assembly, and that is that here you are free to talk about God if you want to, or not talk about God if you don't want to. At the Sunday assembly, God talk is strictly forbidden, not allowed. Here, it's not mandatory, but it's also not out of bounds. For me, that's a really important distinction in why I'm here. So the second thing I think we need to do to help our faith, our fellowship thrive in a secular age is to walk our talk, both within these walls and outside. Religion got a mostly well-deserved rap for being hypocritical. A lot of hot air on Sunday mornings that wasn't really matched with action, behavior during the rest of the week. And people predisposed to secularism, well, they are hyper-vigilant in their search for hypocrisy in congregations. And so we, in turn, need to be hyper-vigilant about living in accordance with our principles, both in how we interact here and what we do outside. Now, this isn't to say we need to be perfect. No one is. But we need to at least live in accordance with our principles most of the time, I think. A dysfunctional and unhealthy dynamic within these walls or disconnect from the world beyond these walls, you know, it's just not going to pull people in or keep them coming. Third, I think we need to be more willing to talk about the fellowship and our Unitarian Universalist faith with our family, friends, coworkers, neighbors, even as this becomes more embarrassing, which it will, as we get more secularized. You know, if we're at the workplace and we say, I'm just not going to take a salary 7 times that of the lowest paid worker here because I'm a Unitarian Universalist. Or, I'm working on marriage equality because I'm religious. I'm a Unitarian Universalist. That causes the same sort of disconnect, cognitive dissonance, rather, in people as hearing, I go to the atheist church. It makes people think, what? Really? I want to learn more. If you're someone who's secular and you've all but given up on religion and you're in the Fox Valley and everywhere you turn you're working on stuff to build a better world and the person next to you is a Unitarian Universalist, after a while you're going to think, maybe I want to check out that place. Fourth, I think we need to keep the focus, part of our focus, on community. Disconnection is the main spiritual disease of our age. It's wounding. It's killing Americans. In the UK, I saw so much disconnection. Without the church, nothing else has much replaced it nationwide. At this fellowship, we offer the most powerful inoculation against disconnection available to humanity, I think, and that is spiritual community. Creating a life-giving community underlies our mission. It's the reason we strive to welcome everyone. It helps us grow in mind and spirit, and working together with others, we can do a better job of building a better world. Fifth, I think we need here to continue with a spirit of experimentation. Instead of business as usual, we must never be afraid to try some new things. Some will work, some won't. What I do know is that the recipe from the last few centuries is probably not going to cut it. So friends, let's be bold. Let's be confident, as Leah charged us to be. Let's keep dreaming big. Let's be proudly countercultural. In a land of increasing disconnection and loneliness, we are striving to build a life characterized by connection, by compassion, by the quest for justice. Others in the Fox Valley need such a place. The world needs such a place. We need such a place.